Am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? Let's bow for prayer. Our God, we are thankful for the reminder that nobody ever cared for me like the Lord Jesus. And we're thankful for that wonderful truth that is spelled out within your precious word. And we ask now, O God, that you would fill us with your blessed Holy Spirit, and that you would show us a token of your love and acceptance for us, that we might walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, teach us from your holy word this evening. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. So last Sunday night we addressed the issue of envy, and we went back to James chapter 4, and we noted some principles from the book of James, verses 1 to 8, and how to deal with envy. This evening I'd like to address the issue of anger. The Bible teaches us, as a result of Rachel envying her sister Leah, that she said to Jacob, "Jacob, give me children, or else I die." And with that statement, the Bible teaches us that Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. Jacob was angry with Rachel. Why was Jacob angry with Rachel? Because of that statement. It angered him. "Give me children, or else I die." And Jacob reacts with anger, the Bible teaches us, and has a few choice words to say to Rachel. "Am I in God's stead? Am I God that has made you barren? Am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb?" So Jacob is angry with Rachel. Why? Because Rachel desired to have children, and she said to Jacob, "Give me children. Give me children, or I'd rather be dead." And that angered Jacob. And Jacob reacted in anger by saying to Rachel, in essence, "Am I God? Am I God that has made you barren? Is it my fault that you can't have children? What can I do about your inability to have children at this time? Am I in God's stead? Is it my fault?" So Jacob takes it very personally. And often we get angry because we take a situation very personally. Jacob is being put over a barrel by Rachel, who said to him, "Give me children, or I'd rather be dead." This is the one that Jacob really loved. And the one that Jacob loved wholeheartedly said, "I'd rather die than live without children." And this attitude angered Jacob. What makes us angry? What makes me angry? What makes you angry? Well, not getting our way can make us angry. We call that, in parenting terms, having a temper tantrum. You know, we don't get our way, so we have a temper tantrum. We get angry. We see it all the time in shopping centres. That's why I can't handle food shopping. I love to go in the evenings where there's fewer children with temper tantrums. The worst time to go into a Woolies or Coles is after school hours. Horrid time. So sometimes we get angry because we are not getting our way. So we have a temper tantrum. Funny enough, sometimes we get angry because we are afraid. We're afraid, and because we are fearful of something, it, for some reason, we get angry. Haven't quite worked that one out, but I know it's a reality. Fear and anger. Sometimes we're afraid and we get angry. Sometimes we get angry because we don't like what we see or what is happening to us. Displeasure. We're not pleased with what we see or what's happening to us, so we get angry. We get angry when we are displeased. We can be prone to get angry when we are fearful. And also, we can be tempted to get angry when we are just not getting our way. But what is the cause of Jacob's anger in this passage of Scripture? The inability to control can also lead to anger. The inability to control a situation can lead to anger. Anger is a common emotional outburst for someone that cannot control a situation. And we see this within the life of Jacob. He had no control, it would seem, over this situation. Rachel's threatening would rather be dead than be alive and have no children. And Jacob was saying, am I in God's stead? Is it my fault that you can't have children? He could have said, may I remind you, I've had four children to Leah. And you're saying to me, give me children or I die? So often we get angry, especially for the men, more common amongst the men, more than what we want to admit, but the women as well. When we cannot control a situation or we lose control of a situation, often we respond with anger. And we see this in the life of Jacob. Jacob, the one that he loved, is saying, I'd rather be dead than alive to be without children. And it's Jacob saying, well, who am I? Am I in God's stead? Is it because of me you can't have children? So Jacob can't control this situation and therefore he gets angry. And beloved, may I submit to you that we can get angry when we don't get our way. We can get angry when we are afraid. We can get angry when we are displeased. But also, I'd like for us to note from the life of Jacob, Jacob was angry because he could not control this situation. How could he snap his fingers and say, okay, baby number one, please, for Rachel, God? Couldn't control the situation. Sometimes when you and I can't control the situation, we get angry. Yes, we do. We can't fully control what we're charged in our electricity bill. And when it comes, oh dear, angry. Too much. It's always too much. Whenever is the electricity bill too little? Oh, that's not enough. It just doesn't work that way. So we get angry. Oh, we tried to save and save and save, and I tried to switch off all those lights that my family members kept leaving on. And yet the bill is still a lot more than what I want to pay. So we get angry. You loan something to somebody, it doesn't come back, or it comes back damaged. You get angry. Why? Because you can control. You're out of control. Or you're driving your car carefully, you're minding your own business, and all of a sudden, a car pulls out in front of you and almost hits you. You get angry. Why? Because you're not in control. You thought you were in control, but you couldn't control the other cars on the road. Or as a parent, you allow your child to spend the day with a friend and you find out that he or she has not been well mannered, so you get angry, thinking to yourself, if I was only there, they wouldn't have behaved inappropriately. Control, control. And so often you and I get angry because we cannot control a situation. So we have an anger fit. I'm out. I can't control. So how do we respond to that? Anger. You've been watching the news and there you see the leader of the United States of America, best buddies with the North Korean leader. And you're wondering what's going to come of this. So you get angry because what's going to come of this? I can't control. I thought the Americans were our friends, not North Korea's friends. The list can go on and on. Our inability to control situations can be the very reason for our anger. Jacob felt out of control. He couldn't do any more to help Rachel conceive and bear children. So he gets angry. Moses is another example of one that gets angry because he can't control the people of Israel. Note there in Numbers chapter 20, please. A classic example of a situation that is out of control and Moses gets angry. Numbers chapter 20, please. Note there verses 1 down to verse 12. You follow along as I read. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh. And Miriam, sister of Moses and Aaron, died there and was buried there. Verse 2, and there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode or quarreled, argued with Moses. And spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord? And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt, to bring us in unto this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. They're really having a go at Moses. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. Sounds like a mature thing to do. They went before the Lord. So far, so good. Verse 7, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother. And speak ye unto the rock before thine eyes, before their eyes. And it shall give forth, his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. So far, so good. Now things deteriorate. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Moses is another example of one that got angry because he couldn't control the situation. He's no doubt frustrated by the actions and words and attitudes of God's people. Here he is, he gives up so much in order to lead God's people out of Egypt. And what does he get for it? Whinging and complaining, charged as if he's done a foolish thing. How could you possibly lead us here? How could there be any possibility of growing anything out here in the desert? You've brought us out here to die. So he's frustrated. He's probably hurt by what they've said to him. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me is a lie. It's not true. Words are hurtful. And could it be that maybe Moses is afraid? What are they going to do to me, all of them, and just Aaron and me? What are they going to do to us? So he's possibly afraid. He's no doubt frustrated. I would say he's very hurt. God doesn't get angry. God gives Moses some simple instruction, speak to the rock, and we'll provide water. And yet when the time came, and the Bible teaches us that Moses bellows out, hear now ye rebels. Now he lets them have it. Must we fetch water out of this rock for you? What else do you want me to do for you? We've led you out of Egypt. You saw the power of God at work. Now you want me to generate some water out of a rock. Here you go. Whack. Whack. And God in his graciousness provides the water. God is a gracious God. God instructed Moses to speak to the rock, but instead he struck the rock twice. And as a result, God said to Moses, because you have not sanctified me before the people, you will not lead my people into the promised land. So Moses got angry because he could not control a situation. And so often you and I get angry because we can't control. Well, welcome to the real world. Some of us are more control freaks, control mongers than others. But I would dare say that often we get angry because we want to control. Jacob cannot control Rachel. Moses cannot control the nation of Israel. And they got angry. And often our anger stems back to our inability to control. In Jonah 4:1, the Bible teaches us, following the repentance of Nineveh, You'd think Jonah would have said, praise the Lord. These reprobates have turned to God. No, the Bible teaches us in Jonah 4:1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly that they repented and got right with God. Oh. And the Bible teaches us, and he was very angry. So often we get angry because we can't control a situation. And maybe your anger problem is because you can't control a situation. Maybe in the workplace you can't control a situation, so get you angry. Or whatever setting it might be. Now, what is God's remedy for anger? Well, I think we need to begin in answering that question with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Let's just note some general principles that might help us to deal with our anger. All of us get angry. The way we express it can vary. And what makes us angry can vary, but anger is a problem of the sinful nature. And as long as we are on this side of eternity, we are prone to anger. Note there in Ephesians 4:26 it reads, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That little phrase there, be angry and sin not, literally means in being angry, you will get angry, sin not. In other words, take control of your anger, deal with your anger before the setting of the sun. In other words, the Bible teaches us that you and I will get angry because we have a sinful nature. Oh, but Pastor, I don't have an anger problem. Yes, you do. Are you perfect, are you? We all have an anger problem. We express it differently. Different things make us angry. But just like we're all prone to anxiety and worry, we are all prone to anger. Say amen. True. Don't lie to me. And the Bible teaches us in being angry, be angry, and being angry literally means, and sin not. Deal with that anger. This is the essence of verse 26. Let not the sun go down, let not the sun set upon your wrath. In other words, don't go to sleep without dealing with that which is making you angry. So where do you begin? What is God's remedy for anger? Well, you will get angry. Just admit that. But don't allow it to roam unaddressed. And I think the key here in verse 26, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, is to acknowledge what is it that's making you angry. It's been well said that some with anger, they repress it. They deny that they're angry. I'm not angry. Sound angry, dear? No, I'm not angry! So we repress it, we deny it, or we suppress it like Moses did. He kept it in, kept it in, kept it in, kept it in. Then he got the rod in his hand, he kept it in. And then when he got everybody together, he let it out. Suppress our anger. It's all there, it's just brewing, and all of a sudden, bang, out it comes. So some deny that they're angry, some will suppress their anger, some will express their anger, they'll just have an outburst like Jacob. Jacob is angry, blah. No holding back for Jacob. Moses held back, picked his time. Then he let it out. We need to confess our anger. And the first main principle that I'd like for us to stress this evening, if we're to have victory over our anger, we need to understand, as a way of introduction with this issue of God's cure for anger, we need to admit that we will get angry, but we need to deal with it. And in dealing with it, we need to, number one, resolve, what is it that's making us angry? What's making you angry? What made Jacob angry? I'm telling you, what made Jacob angry was that there's nothing he could do to produce children for Rachel. That's why he said, am I in God's stead? Am I God? Do you think I'm the one that's holding you back from having babies? May I remind you, Rachel, I've had four sons to Leah. I don't think it's my problem. Without getting any more specific, I don't think it's my problem. So we need to resolve, what is it that's making us angry? And if you and I are serious about dealing with our anger, we need to ask ourselves, what is it that's making me angry? This will take some humility. Because anger is just pride manifested. Jacob got angry because he took personally what Rachel was saying. And Rachel had to blame somebody. Pretty emotive. You give me children or I die. The Lord Jesus likened anger to murder. He said, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Then he went on to say, if you get angry with your brother, you're in danger of the judgment. So we need to resolve, number one, what is it that's making me angry? If your anger is due to feeling like things are out of control, well, what is it? What is it that's out of control in your life that's making you angry? So number one, you resolve. That's your first R. Number two, we must rest. Go to Proverbs 21, please. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, verse 1, it reads, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. What a wonderful verse. And this teaches me that God is in control. Even when we don't feel that we're in control. God is in control. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. 21 verse 1. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. And beloved, if you and I are to have victory over anger, when we feel like I'm angry, why am I angry? Because things are out of control. But may I remind you, God is always in control. God is in control of this situation for Rachel. And Jacob needed to be reminded, God is in control. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with that temptation make a way of escape. Jacob should have pointed Rachel back to the fact that, hey, God is sovereign, Rachel. God is in control. And I think we so often get angry because we are not in control. But whoever said that you and I need to be always in control? You can't. You know? As parents, we want to control our children. But God is in control. We want to control people's responses. I'm sure Moses would have loved to have controlled the attitude and the words of that nation. But he had no control. But God was still in control. And beloved, you and I can have victory over anger when we come back to the fact that all things do work together for good. God is in control. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turns it whithersoever he will. So next time you're about to get angry because the car won't start, doesn't start, and you get angry, we need to be reminded that God's in control. God's in control. So we rest in that fact. Number three, we need to resolve what is it that's making us angry. Number two, we need to rest in the fact that God is in control. And number three, we need to respond in faith. Go back to Genesis chapter 28, please. Are you still with me? Genesis 28. Look at verse 13 and 14. Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. Verse 14, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. See, Jacob needed to remind himself, hey, God had promised him. God had promised him a land, and God had promised him a large family, and God had promised him that through his seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Jacob should have, instead of getting angry because he couldn't control Jacob, he should have pointed Rachel back to the fact, hey, God has promised us, dear. God has promised us that our family will be large, and God has promised us through our seed the whole earth will be blessed. The just shall walk by faith. We have to walk by faith and not by sight. And I know we don't like it, beloved, but God has called us to walk by faith. But we often would much rather walk by sight. And we like to have a handle on the situation. Don't we? Don't we? Don't we? Yes! That's why we get angry. We're trying to control the situation. But we can't control it, and God wants to remind us, hey, I've saved you by faith, and I want you to walk by faith. And if you and I will get back to the fact that we are called upon to walk by faith and not by sight, we can have victory over that anger. Because we can't control. But God was in control. God said to Jacob, don't worry, you're going to have seed without number, and through your seed the whole earth will be blessed. That was God's promise. So we must respond. And last but not least, we must renew our minds. See, Jacob should have directed Rachel back to a point of thinking biblically. Jacob should have shared with Rachel the promises of God that he was given on the way to Haran. And Jacob should have said to Rachel, Rachel, listen, these are the promises that God gave to me on the way to Haran. And I want you to think upon these promises. I want you to meditate upon these promises. I want you to think biblically. I want you to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I want you to replace those negative thoughts with thoughts that please you, God. And they're there in Philippians chapter 4. Please, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, the Bible teaches us what we need to choose to think upon. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think biblically. So, beloved, how can we have victory over anger? Number one, we must resolve, what is it that's making me angry? What is it that's making me angry? Number two, I need to rest in the fact, even though I'm not in control, God is in control. And number three, I need to be reminded that I need to walk by faith. God has given me promises. I need to hold on to those promises. And last but not least, number four, renew. We must think biblically. See, unaddressed anger will cripple our relationships. There's a wedge here between Jacob and Rachel because of Jacob's anger. We can't control the responses of others, but we can certainly take responsibility for our response. Anger is adding petrol to a fire. It will only inflame the issue. It won't extinguish the problem. The Bible teaches us in Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirreth up strife. Angry people are contentious people. They want to argue and debate. And how true it is that when we get angry, we want to get into a fight, a verbal fight, with that individual that we're angry towards. The Bible teaches us in Proverbs 22, verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man. Why? Verse 25, lest thou learn his ways. Spend time with angry people, you'll become an angry person. And in Ecclesiastes 7:9, the Bible reads, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Anger is foolishness. So sometimes we get angry, beloved, because we don't get our way. Sometimes we get angry because we are displeased. Sometimes we get angry because we are fearful. But may I submit to you this evening, so often we get angry because we can't control. Can't control. And let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't allow that anger to fester. Deal with it. Where do we begin? Resolve, number one. What is it that's making me angry? Have you ever had anybody say to you, why are you angry? Why are you angry? And in your heart of hearts, you're asking yourself, yeah, good question. I'm angry. Don't bother me with the details. I'm just angry. But you and I need to be bothered with the details because you need to resolve what is it that's making you angry? What is it that's making you angry? So you resolve. And then you rest. Hey, I'm out of control, but praise God, He is in control. So we rest. And then we remind ourselves that I'm here to walk by faith, not by sight. And could it be that God just wants me to walk by faith? And therefore He's allowed the situation in my life of which I cannot physically control. So I need to just respond by walking by faith. And last but not least, renew. So often we get angry because we're not thinking spiritually. See, when God instructed Moses to speak to the rock, we don't read that God got angry. Could God have gotten angry? Righteous anger? Of course. They deserved it. Don't get angry. He said, Moses, this is what you're to do. Pick up your rod, assemble your people, speak to the rock, give them water. Don't worry, I'll take care of it. But may God help us to go back to the Word of God and rest in the promises of the Word of God and think biblically, that we might be delivered from a spirit of anger. Let's bow for prayer. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. All of us get angry from time to time, and we need to